Morning, everybody, and welcome. We're in Estimates again this morning, and this morning we're doing the Department of Labour Affairs. So I want to thank everybody for coming. First, I'm going to start with the substitutes. So for MHJ Wall, we have MHJ Evans. For MHJ Tripper, we have MHJ Abbott. For MHJ Sherry M. Walsh, we have Minister Parsons. For MHJ Din, we have MHJ Brown, and for MHJ Corbett, we have Minister Pike. So a few housekeeping items before we get started. We ask everybody to wave the and wait for the light to come on before you speak. We would like for you to identify yourself every single time for recording purposes, and do not adjust your chairs, as other people will be sitting in them in their own place again this afternoon. And of course, the water coolers are to my right and left if anybody would like some water. Before I ask the committees to introduce themselves, I would like to ask for the previous minutes to be approved. So I'm going to ask for a mover, MHJ Evans, second by MHJ Abbott. All those in favour? Against? Motion carried. All right, now I'm going to ask everybody to introduce themselves, starting off with MHJ Evans.
MHJ Evans, District of Torngat Mountains, critic for Labrador Affairs.
Ashley Bleedy, House Opposition Staff.
Opposition Finance Critic.
Jordan Brown, MHJ for Labrador West.
Scott Fleming, Researcher, Third Party Caucus.
John Abbott, St. John's East, Kitty-Bitty.
Andrew Parsons, Burgill Lapoil.
Jack Norman, Government Member's Office.
Minister.
Lisa Dempster, Minister responsible for Labrador Affairs.
Jason Higgins, Deputy Minister, Labrador Affairs.
Nicole Abbott, Departmental Controller.
Trevor Miller, Manager of Finance.
Don't forget to wave your hand to get the light on.
Sherry Snow, Assistant Deputy Minister for Medical Transportation Assistance Program.
Franca Smith, Director of Labrador Affairs.
Randy Sims, Minister Dempster, ZA.
Victoria Barber, Director of Communications, Labrador Affairs.
Well, thank you all. So I'm going to ask the clerk to call the first round of numbers before I ask the minister to speak.
1.1.01, Executive and Support Services.
1.1.01. Minister, would you like to bring some opening remarks?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, everyone. I will just do a brief little 3-4 minute run through of an overview of the department before we get into the subheadings. Not a lot of subheadings, generally in estimates to questions come elsewhere. So the vision of the Department of Labrador Affairs is of a strong, sustainable, and vibrant Labrador where all people have the opportunity to prosper and contribute to their communities, regions, and the province. Under its mandate, the department is responsible for the development, implementation, and administration of provincial policies and programs from a Labrador and rural remote perspective. Specifically, the department is entrusted with advancing the social and economic development of Labrador by ensuring the unique perspectives are considered in the formation of government policy and are in the delivery of provincial government programs and services. So many of you here will recall that 2 years ago, Labrador Affairs became a standalone department. All functions and programs previously administered by Labrador Affairs Secretariat were brought within the jurisdiction of Labrador Affairs, and I'll just mention some of them. The Labrador Transportation Grooming Subsidy, Labrador Aboriginal Nutritional and Artistic Assistance Program, Labrador Sport Travel Subsidy Program and School Sport NL Labrador Travel Program. Labrador Winter Games, which happens every 3 years since 1983, is also housed there. In addition to that, we brought in an extra 50-ish staff with the Medical Transportation Assistance Program and the Medical Transportation Support Program. Some of you might recall that as the income support side. The name just recently changed, and we now use the acronym MITS for the income support side. Budget highlights in 2025, in addition to $684,000 in ongoing funding to assist residents with travel to access medical services not available close to home, Budget 25 invests a further $988,000 to increase the mileage assistance rate and to develop a third-party partnership to help lower-income residents. $750,000 for the organization and development of the 2026 Labrador Winter Games. $430,000 is allocated for the Labrador Sport Travel Subsidy, which provides air travel support to Labrador athletes age 18 and under. Pardon me. $400,000 to School Sport NL to support travel for Labrador students to participate in school-organized sporting events. $611,000 to support and maintain safe winter access for isolated communities. And I don't have it in front of me, but we are continuing with the coastal supplement for the North Coast and the South Coast that we brought in Budget 24. I have a whole lot of things here that we're doing under medical transportation, but I think I'll leave it, and as we go, I may get to share that as you ask the questions, but certainly we continue to increase that program. Budget 23, it came under Labrador Affairs. We added an extra $1 million. In Budget 24, we had a shortfall of $750,000, so it increased to almost an extra $2 million, and this year we have added another just about $1 million, as I mentioned earlier. We're seeing a big rise in MTAP claims, risen by another 8% in 2024-25, building on a 20% increase from last year's budget. I think claims have gone from maybe 657 to around 1,200. Safer snowmobile trail. I'm looking across at my critic, who's more than familiar with our snowmobile trail, and I'm sure that the MHA for Lab West is as well. So I can answer those questions as they come up, along with the Labrador Sport Travel Subsidy. I will share another really, really important job, I guess, and work that we do within Labrador Affairs that's become really more important, I would say, than ever before, is the work we do around the Arctic and Northern Policy Framework, working with other Northern ministers. This year we will be hosting the Northern Ministers Development Forum in Happy Valley Goose Bay, looking to be end of May. And we're doing increasing work around Arctic sovereignty as we see what's happening all around us, the unrest geopolitically and things like that. So certainly be we would be front and center on that. And I'm going to clue up there and just allow time for questions and maybe come back to that. I will say, reading estimates from last year, I noticed that MHA Parrott had made a comment that at the end he grew up in Lab West, and then there was the MHA for Torngat and me, and it was nice to see three Labrador folk in the house, and we have three Labrador people, so lots of familiarity with the challenges here this morning. And if Lake Melville was cheering, we'd have 100% of Labrador here this morning involved in estimates. But anyway, thank you, Chair, for your time, and now we can go back to the
Thank you, Minister. So we're going to start with questions. The first round of questions will be 15 minutes, and following that will be 10 minutes on every round. So MH Evans, you can start.
Yes, thank you, MH Evans. A lot of the items relating to Labrador, my district, Torngat Mountains and Labrador as a whole, will be directed towards the other departments. Like in the last previous estimates, some of the questions that we came forward with to the Minister of Labrador Affairs had to be deferred to the other departments. So I'm not going to actually take up a lot of time asking those questions that could be better suited for other departments. However, during these budget estimates, it's important to have the minister and the supporting staff here to question the role of Aboriginal Affairs, what they play in the advocacy. Because the whole point of the formation of Labrador Affairs was to ensure that the issues in Labrador didn't fall through the cracks because of the unique issues, geography, location, logistics, those issues there. So it's important for us to ask these questions. And most of my questions will not be specific line items about a particular budget estimate being up a little bit more or down from previous years. We also recognize that the Department of Labrador Affairs now is fairly new in its role as a established standalone department. And so there's budget estimates, fluctuations from year to year, and you're sort of in a growing stage. So some of those items can be, like I said, I won't spend a lot of time on those because it takes up time. I do appreciate everyone being here, and I do appreciate the role that the minister and the deputy minister plays in the advocacy for Labrador. Just looking at some of the general questions now that I have before we get into the line items. The Coastal Labrador Seniors Food Heating Supplement. The minister said in her open remarks they will be continued for this year, right? I just want the minister to sort of reflect in her advocacy role. How did she come, or how did the government come to actually establish this supplement?
Thank you. I thank the member for her question. So when we spend months in budget prep, probably start by November and lead up, going through a lot of different things, and we recognize that the cost of living is very high right now, across the country for various reasons in provinces. But when you look at rural, remote, and in particular isolated communities, we know the cost of living is higher. We know there's challenges around, as the member would be familiar with, coastal communities in Labrador not eligible for all programs across government. Some of that is outside our control, like the some of the rebates that other people in the province are entitled to. We would not be if we're on diesel-generated communities, and that is funding that came from the federal government with criteria attached to it in how we spend. So when we looked at different measures of the cost of living, we wanted to do something extra for the seniors in those communities, and my cabinet colleagues supported that, and I was happy to see that it continue. I don't know if that answers your question.
No, thank you. Thank you, Minister, and that does answer my question. Because as we see in Labrador, especially in my district, the cost of food, and I've actually got documents showing the cost of food in northern Labrador is significantly higher than in other regions of rural Newfoundland and Labrador. And that's creating great hardship. So it's good to see that you're aware, your department is aware of the cost. We also look at the heating, the huge cost of heating. Now, in my district, people can't afford to purchase fuel for their furnaces and their stoves the way they used to. Before, you get a drum of oil delivered to your house, or you deliver it yourself, 200 liters of stove oil. People can't afford that anymore. So we see people walking down the road or on Skidoo now with a 5-liter jerry can of stove oil. Can you imagine how long that's going to last in a furnace or a stove? It's creating a lot of hardship. And the reason why I bring it up is Labrador Affairs was created to ensure that the other departments like CSSD, the Department of Finance, is aware of the situations. So it's important. So for me, is continuing this $500 rebate is important for our seniors. But we also have to look at the low-income families as well. We have to look at the people who can't haul wood or can't afford to haul wood. So, like, once this rebate is over, seniors are going to go back to the struggle, but $500 is really not even helping them with the struggle. So I was just wondering, what other advocacy is Labrador Affairs doing to address the cost of heating your home and feeding your family?
So we thank the member for the questions. I'll try to touch on all that I've heard. In terms of the 500 ending, that I'm not aware of it ending. That's a commitment that we made now going forward, recognizing that change. In general, I want to say, when you reference Labrador and Labrador's role, you are right on the mark. I say, even to my colleagues, there's a reason we don't have an office up the Burren Peninsula, or there's a reason we don't have an office of Bonavista, but we do have a Department of Labrador Affairs, recognizing that our challenges are very, very unique. And if your home address is in Labrador, it can be really frustrating because you know that you live in an area that contributes a lot. We have challenges, not the least of which is brought on perhaps by being a really small population spread over a large landmass, et cetera. I do want to say, and for the purpose of hand serving things, that as the minister responsible right now for Labrador Affairs, we work with every single department across government. So any cabinet paper that's going forward to cabinet committee and then later to cabinet, we have a lens on that, and we talk about how that will positively or negatively affect Labrador. The Nutrition North program, I think it's a $132 million program federally. I have been to Ottawa on more than one occasion advertising for improvements, for additional items to be added. I know there is concern, in particular in the members' district, because that we don't see that often passed on to the consumer at the end of the day. Myself and my colleague who's here this morning, St. John's East Kitty Vitty, we walk through all of the grocery stores from Regalette through Nain, and we did see firsthand the prices ourselves, and we actually wrote the Nunatsiavut government. We've written them on two occasions because we want to help them. We want to work with them to see why what we can do. I know the Nutrition North program right now is under review, but in addition to that, we have a lot of concerns around the northern stores when the CEO is making $3.6 million a year and your people are hurting and that you're very real hardship. So, yeah, I think I'll pause there. Oh, and on the diesel and the cost of heating the homes, the Minister for IET is here, and we have sat down many times with him, with his executive team, and there is actually three different levels of subsidy going into our isolated diesel communities because we recognize that it would be cost prohibitive to live there if we did not have that. And I don't have them in front of me, but I would be certainly happy if the member would like to just show you what the contributions are. The one portion is being paid for by the ratepayers across the island, one portion by Hydro, and I believe there is a portion by the provincial government. But there is multiple levels of subsidy going in to just help offset some of the high cost of those diesel generating stations. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. M.H. Evans.
Yes, to offset the cost. Now, I mean, know that right now the cost of electricity in northern Labrador, if you go over that small 1,000-liter, 1,000-kilowatt-hour life block, the cost of electricity is 21 cents a kilowatt-hour. That's substantial, right? So whatever you're doing is really not offsetting the cost to be able to heat your home in the winter months, because most people will go above the life block if they have any electric heat and end up paying 21 cents a kilowatt hour. But it's good to see the advocacy at work. My next question is, in November, the PC caucus brought forward a private member's motion for a 20% increase in the Newfoundland Labrador seniors benefit, and also for it to be indexed. Now, the Minister of Finance announced, introduced an amendment at the time delaying this until budget 2025, because the rationale for that is that it wasn't actually budgeted. And we see now in budget 2025 that the seniors' benefit will be indexed. But, of course, we won't get that 20% increase to go on top of it to start off with the indexing. So I was just wondering, was there any advocacy role that Labrador Affairs played in actually talking to the minister about the issue with her amendment? Because I stood up in the House as representing Northern Labrador and Labrador as a whole, and delaying it till the end of budget 2025 until it was passed would put the seniors through an extra 4 months of winter, because our motion was put forward in January. So you look at January, February, March, April to when budget 2025 is passed. That's an extra 4 months for our seniors. So I was just wondering, was there any advocacy role there that was played in, you know, talking to the minister about the issues, especially for Labrador?
Minister?
Thank you, Chair. There's a lot of things. I'm reading Oprah's book now, What I Know for Sure. There's a lot of things I don't know for sure, but what I know for sure is I do try my absolute best to advocate for, in particular, our seniors. And when I... It's going to sound lighthearted, but when I say what I'm about to say, my staff around me will probably nod their head, because if there's one thing that I think I will be remembered for when I turn in my swipe card from here for the last time, will be that at the table on a regular basis, no matter what incentives, initiatives, no matter what we're discussing, I always say, how will this impact Aunt Nellie and Uncle Joe? And Aunt Nellie and Uncle Joe, have you heard me say that many times? Everything we do, and, you know, I guess at the end of the day, we start with budget prep. There's tremendous, tremendous ask. Every department brings their needs, and over time and many, many meetings, you know, it gets, as you saw this year, even with the budget that was brought in, still running a deficit a little bit higher than we would have liked and had to tuck some money away for uncertain times. But certainly it's not for lack of advocacy on my part, for sure.
Amy J. Evans.
Yes, thank you for that, that answer, Minister, because our seniors are very vulnerable in Labrador, especially in Northern Labrador, and that 20% increase, if it had taken place in January, or even if it was going to take place now at the end of the budget, would go a long way to helping people have to deal with the Labrador winters. Just moving over to health with my general questions. It was raised in last year's estimates, the lack of capacity for X-ray equipment, the lack of ability to X-ray patients who were seriously injured in the clinics in Northern Labrador. So I was just wondering, has there been any action on that?
Thank you, Chair. I just want to pop back. I meant to share when the member was asking about the seniors' benefits, the $10 million in the budget with initiatives under seniors' health and well-being plan. There's a number of grants, and I know that the seniors that I represent on the South Coast are certainly aware, and they're calling my constituency office on a regular basis for things like the Aging Well at Home grant, which can help with everything from snow clearing to getting groceries, et cetera, the caregiver benefit, financial assistance for food and heating, the Coastal Labrador piece, and the increase to investments around home repair and home modification. And I just wanted to mention that because the Aging Well at Home grant in particular is one that I've received a lot of feedback on from folks saying, you know, even though it may seem small, this have also gone a long way for us as well. Around the X-ray equipment, I can't answer that directly, but we can certainly endeavour to find the answers, because that is something that my colleague, the Minister for Health and Community Services, would be aware of. I can look to my folks to see if anybody knows. Nobody would know about the X-ray equipment.
Thank you, Minister. We're going to move now. Your time is up, MHJ Evans. MHJ Brown.
Thank you, Chair. Just a general first federal question there. Currently, how many people are employed in the department, and how many vacancies are currently in the department right now?
Thank you, Chair. So in Labrador Affairs, we have 33 permanent staff, 27 temporary, and 10 contractual. And so it's about 62 positions that are funded, and we have two temporary vacancies and one contractual.
Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Chair. So right now, out of all those, are how many are exclusive to MTAP?
So we are actually fully staffed with MTAP, and I'm quite pleased and proud of the work. I'm not saying MTAP's perfect, and I know that you have more than your share of heartburn with MTAP, but when that program came under me in 2023, we had 16 vacancies. We had about $3 million less than we had now, and we were about 6 months sometimes processing applications. Today, we are fully staffed. It's growing. The budget is growing, and unless there's something untoward or something I don't know, we're around 2.5 weeks on processing time. We had some hiccups around transitioning to a new system that was needed. We've also recently moved to Regatta Plaza because we now have the medical transportation and the MITS, which is like the income support. I'm still stuck in old language a lot. And so we've moved, and we have 51 folks that are there. And we did have some hiccups with a new system because of a lot of changes that we made around the voucher program and increases to mileage and things like that. And
perfect. Thank you, Minister. Right now, how many departments have reached out to Labrador Affairs for consultation on Labrador perspective or Labrador lens on programs that are being delivered to Labradorians? How many outside departments have reached out to your department to do that work?
Yeah. So I wasn't quite sure. You're a little bit low. MHA for Torngat used to be low. I should have my ear pod in. But now she's moved closer to me. If you're wondering what departments we work with on Labrador Matters, it's every single one on a regular basis, everyone, whether it's your mining issues in Lab West or the challenges with the cost of living in the north, all over. We work with every single department, and we actually have there's two major cabinet committees that papers go through before it reaches cabinet. There's a social economic and an economic a social policy and an economic policy. Most ministers sit on one or the other. I sit on both, and multiple other cabinet committees, just making sure that there is a Labrador lens on all of the work that we do.
Okay, so no department has independently said, well, we're doing this, we want to make sure the program is delivered to, you know, correctly for anything. So no department themselves, not, I know, like, cabinet's one thing, but when they're working on, the basis of a program, no department actually reaches out and says, we're looking for a Labrador perspective. No one comes to your department saying, we need to make sure that this program actually fits Labrador.
Yeah, we do that on a regular basis, yeah.
You do that on a regular basis, okay.
Yes, yeah.
Perfect, thank you. There was a $850 million was announced for recruitment and retention of teachers and teaching assistants to fill hard-to-fill locations. Did the Department of Education get input from your department on how that money can be spent for recruitment and retention of Labrador roles, given that they are the hardest to fill in the province?
Yes, we certainly do. And I chat with my colleague, the Education Minister, on a regular basis. And in particular, like when I was heading up to the summit, you're going to a place and you're thinking, what you're going to be asked there. And we constantly remind them of things that are very unique to places like Lab West. You contribute so much through resources, but there's negative impacts socially and economically in your community because of that. And I don't have the list in front of me, but the last time I spoke with the education minister would have been this winter. She outlined a number of incentives that are provided to that area. And I feel like there was an issue with the union there that's unique, and that matter got resolved as well. But I would have to ask her to get that information because I don't want to misspeak here for Hansard.
Yeah, no worries. No, I appreciate that. You know, we all are aware of, I guess, of the Quebec travel subsidy for their northern and regions and stuff like that. And I know that I've spoke to you in the past about the departments. What came out of the Labor Affairs study into the air travel, in the regional air travel in Labrador? And will there be any improvements or anything coming forward on improving regional air travel after your department's review of it?
Thank you for raising that. It was a growing issue that really, really escalated over the summer months, and it was a difficult time, I think, for all of us. There's no doubt that we have an air access issue in Labrador with one airline there with a monopoly, I guess, and what happened was they seemed to not have enough aircraft for months, so people that desperately needed to travel for a period couldn't even get a flight, and I think all MHAs in Labrador were dealing with that, and I was certainly dealing with it at a really ramped up level, and then we had an air affordability issue. So there was a number of things that we did through the Department of Labrador Affairs in addition to sitting down with the airline company, presenting to the Competition Bureau, working a lot with Goose Bay Air Corp, who was also in turn working with Lab West. They have received, I don't have the figures in front of me, but I've been speaking with TCAR on a number of occasions, and again just as recent as last week, and they've given some money to Goose Bay Air Corp, and I believe there is a second amount of money coming, and it's allowing them to look at possibly enticing another airline into the region. A part of the study that was done looked at where there may be space right now for additional routes, where there's gaps and things like that. So that whole work is unfolding, and I don't know if TCAR estimates have happened yet or not. I should as a government house leader, but certainly we're continuing to push that. We know that while we heard when we were in Lab West in February that there had been some progress and some improvements, and there was some cheaper fares that if booked well in advance could now be accessed, and some of the issue with flight availability seems to be addressed, but I wouldn't be comfortable in saying that we're there where we need to be yet, so we continue to keep that file top of mind.
Perfect. Thank you, Minister. The announcement for the 10-bed Addictions Recovery Center, that's gone to RFP. Will Labrador Affairs also be reviewing that proposal to make sure that it's culturally and relevant to Labrador, given its location and the reason for its, the reason for having it, make sure that it is culturally and relevant to Labradorians' needs?
Thank you, Chair. We're certainly a part of all those conversations that happen. We know the need is there, and we endeavor always to look through the Indigenous and cultural lens as well now with all of the work that we do. Even with the new school that's coming to Cartwright, there will be a beautiful cultural aspect to that, like we've not seen with the other schools that we've built. So certainly aware of your housing needs. It's been a long road for you as the rep for that area, I know, and you've been a good advocate. We've got there's proposals that are in the system now. There's commitments that have been made by the provincial government. I know there's proposals into the federal government, and there's some commitments that we've made in this budget, and we'll continue to try and move Lab West to a better place in regard to their housing needs, because the one thing that I saw in spades from the summit is that things are about to get much, much busier around the mining, and we know that there's going to be that means an increase for housing. It was refreshing for me to hear I'm drawing a blank on his name, the new guy, tall guy. You know, mining companies that stepped up on the panel that said we have a role to play as well. We cannot leave all of the funding gaps and deficits in those communities for the federal or provincial government or the municipal government to fix, but that they would be willing to invest as well. So we'll continue to have a seat at that table, and I'll continue to bring those concerns forward to the rest of my colleagues at the Cabinet table.
MHJ Brown, we will come back to you in after MHJ Evans.
Yes, thank you, and I apologize for my coughing. Just getting back to my previous question there about the lack of X-ray capacity for patients in Northern Labrador. The reason why I brought that up for as a Labrador issue is that the North Coast communities are totally isolated. They're not connected by road. Right, and also we witness the lack of flights for patients being able to travel. We look at weather delays as well. And the reason why I brought it up last year was because we've had patients who were basically, some of them were children who were seriously injured and weren't a priority for getting out on a flight. We had a mother call me with a six-year-old whose arm was visibly deformed, so it was, you know, high potential for a break. So I did ask the minister about any advancing on the X-ray capacity, and, you know, no one in your department knows. So obviously there wasn't much follow-up there, but I think issues that's raised during budget estimates really should be taken back and looked at what advocacy your department can be doing on behalf of the people, and coming back to us next year with answers, or even during the sitting of the House regarding some of these issues. You know, and some of those issues regarding bone fractures were really serious. We've had one teenager with two breaks to her pelvis, and she was forced to sit up on a medical aircraft to come out. And the reason why I go into those details is your staff is very important for them to know it, right? It's very important for Labrador Affairs to advocate for all regions of Labrador and understand the issues. Looking at the medical travel, I constantly raise the issue of patients not being able to get out to their medical appointments for chemo treatments, for x-rays, MRIs, for deceased surgeons to actually have their surgery, and then, of course, the issue of patients being bumped when they're trying to get home. And Minister of Labrador Affairs, I know a part of it is an Indigenous issue, but everybody who travels from Northern Labrador is not necessarily Indigenous, so this is an issue for your department, is what advocacy have you done to address the serious gaps in medical access to the appointment for the appointments? Because last June we were promised extra flights. We never got those extra flights. And about 2 months ago I was told by Labrador Grenfell staff that there was no way they could deliver on that promise of extra flights because they were still under the old contract. So I was just wondering, Minister, in your capacity and with your staff, were you told the truth about this discrepancy, about what we were promised and what was available?
Minister.
Thank you, Chair. So I know the member raised the matter of flight challenges on the North Coast in the House. I did go and sit with, because normally if there's challenges that, you know, normally staff reach out and make me aware, say health is letting you know if it's if it's taking place somewhere in Labrador. Obviously I don't go looking, they're coming to me, as they should. They should, the folks around me and the folks in health, whatever department, if there's matters that I need to be aware of, that's a part of their job, is to come to me and make me aware. When you raise the matter in the House, I hadn't been aware. I went back to Grenfell, and they told me, because as you can appreciate, health is a $4 billion-plus entity, and we're now one health board, but we do have different zones. So all of Labrador and the Northern Peninsula is under the Labrador-Grenfell zone, and we have a COO for that area. And they did tell me that, the phone is ringing here, crazy all morning. They did tell me that they had there were some challenges and that they had changed the how folks were made aware going to the airport and how folks would fly out, because sometimes people would show up on the day off and there was a number of really downing operations, and I don't want to misspeak. And in terms of people missing very important appointments at that time, I can only tell the member, because I have to be honest myself on this side, at that time when I answered in the House, and I know the member posted a video clip and things, I was being very honest and sincere that what I was told by officials is that they were not aware, and I was just truly honestly passing on what I had been told. I know that was disheartening for the member who had been working with Lab Grenfell again and again and again to bring those matters forward. What I also want to say to the member is, and I can't speak right off the cuff to what's in the contract. I've seen the contract before that, you know, goes through public procurement, works through with the Health and Community Services. I can endeavour to get that. I also want to say that in particular, in the area that you represent, the airline is, you know, more than 50% owned by Nunatsiavut government and Innu Nation. And I don't know, because I know you carry a big lift, if they are, you know, if they are aware that the airline that they own, you know, that there's challenges with the people that they want the best service for. Because I do know when you have these terrible circumstances, like you just outlined specific, that it's pretty tough when you're in an isolated area. And in Forto, we have a road connection, but we've just had recently a number of scenarios, even with a road, where search and rescue have had to come in again and again. Just last week, a young woman with her thumb that was just completely taken off, and thanks to search and rescue and a fast trip to the health science, her thumb was able to be, you know, put back on. A businesswoman in my area, so I can imagine with the distance and the isolation how much more important that is. All I can say to the member is, if you are still having those challenges, I will arrange meetings with health, with Lab Grenfell, and sit at the table with you to try and find solutions, because I very much can appreciate that if those challenges are continuing, that they're real, they're important to you, that they matter, and I will work with you to try and get things to a better place for the people you represent.
Yes, thank you. MHA Evans. Yes, thank you, Minister, for your answer. And just to clarify a couple of things, there is this is not question period. It sounds like anyone listening would think, okay, is this extended question period? It's not. We get one chance at estimates to talk about what's in the budget and to identify the needs and where the budget is not meeting the needs of the regions. So that's why these questions are so important. You know, it's important also where you have your staff here. Your staff, and the single issue, the single reason for Labrador Affairs was originally to be an advocate, to understand, to be able to work with different departments to make sure that those gaps are addressed, and to also talk about the social, geographic, and uniqueness of Labrador and the different regions in Labrador. So I'm not here to ask questions as in question period, so I don't want anyone to misunderstand that. Also, too, is the airline is not responsible for patient travel. The Labrador-Grenfell region and the Provincial Health Authority is responsible for patient travel in my district. They can't get in their cars and drive to Goose Bay or to St. John's. They cannot do that. And what's happening now is the constant bumping. And we commonly call it the slang, bumping. And what that means is, it's not that you got reservations and you're bumped off the flight. You got an appointment out in St. John's. It could be for surgery. It could be pre-surgery. It could be something to do with cancer. You got that appointment. And the day you're supposed to travel, you can't travel. And I've raised it many times. And for me, budget estimates. I've gone through budget estimates. I've been elected now 6 years. and I'd go through the line questions. But in actual fact, with Labrador Affairs, and I told my colleague who's here for the first time watching budget, Labrador Affairs budget estimates is different. It's because I'm questioning your role as advocate, advocacy, to understand. And then to have the question last year about the X-ray, and then for no one in your department to be able to relate to that, is you need to take it back, these issues. You know, the member of the third party asked questions about advocacy, yes. But like, say, for example, patients being bumped off, not being able to get out to their appointments, or so afraid of being stuck in Goose Bay that they don't go to their appointments, and just failing their health. And I raise it. I raise it with the health staff. I raise it with the Provincial Health Authority. I raise it with Labrador-Grenfell Region. So the role of advocacy for influencing how much money gets spent where, like, say, for example, medical flights, is obviously no one from the health department has reached out to your department. It's a failing of them. They should be availing of your department to say, you know, the MHA for Torngat is raising these issues. Is there more we should be doing? Like, what was in last year's budget compared to this year's budget? What do you need this year so patients can actually access health care? That's a right in the province of Newfoundland and Labrador.
I'm here, Chair, and your time has expired. Okay. Minister, do you want to respond to that first? Yes.
If I could, please. And I thank the member, and the member says we're not in question period and we're in estimates. I referenced those things because, as you said, when we come into Labrador Affairs estimates, we don't ever seem to get to the line by line, but we cover basically the entire provincial government. And I do feel a need to acknowledge the good work that the people do at Labrador Affairs. It's not easy work. Many things with Labrador, I think it's the best land, but it's also a very challenging land, and the staff do stay on top of things pretty good in my mind. So I do want to toss a bouquet to the staff. And as my grandmother would say, you can't let perfect be the enemy of the good. They can be on top of the 99, but if there's one they're not recalling here right now, I wouldn't toss them out for that. I also want to say, in my final comment to the member, on your concern about health and the people you represent in Labrador and flights, I can only offer to convene a meeting at the highest table with you as I did last fall. I am available to work with you on that matter. I would very much be interested in trying to help you get the folks that you represent in those isolated communities to a better level of service than what they have now. And that's all I can do is offer.
Thank you, Minister. M.A.J. Brown.
Thank you. Returning to my, I guess, my last question as well. I know you mentioned housing, which is great, thank you. But I was asking about the 10-bed treatment center, and I was like making sure that there's an RFP gone out for that. I want to make sure is Labrador Affairs been consulted about that, and will they be reviewing the RFP for that addictions treatment center to make sure it's culturally relevant for Labradorians?
Yes,
staff is around me, and I know I have at my level, but it's also important at the DM level, the ADM, the director, because it keeps everything flowing. But everybody's nodding that we've been consulted and had input into that. Sorry if I missed a boat.
No, no worries. No, no, I appreciate that. Thank you. No, I guess moving on to MTAP now. Is there still work progressing on reviewing MTAP and implementing the improvements required?
100%. Absolutely. Yeah.
Perfect. All right. Is MTAP working towards a 100% paid flight system, or will this still continue to be a copay for medical travel, or are you working towards a 100% paid travel for patients?
You're not talking about the voucher program.
I'm talking about the voucher program.
Pardon me?
I am talking about the voucher program.
So the voucher program, we continue with 100% of the first $1,000 up front. Is that what?
I'm wondering if you're going to eliminate that and have it 100% all the time paid.
Okay, I see what you mean going forward beyond the first 1,000.
Yes.
Well, we are continually reviewing it. The ADM for the program is sitting behind me, and sometimes I wonder, is she going to show up over in my building when we do our briefings? Because I'm continually pushing and for more money and for more services, and we are always reviewing and always looking to try to find ways to improve. And a lot of the feedback that you give me from the people you represent is what I take forward to the bigger table, because it's really, really valuable when you give me specific cases, because if I don't know about them, how can I advocate for more? So recently you had said I got a bunch of people with a certain scenario, and I think you sent me 6 cases, and so then that gets taken to the DM, the ADM, and then we look to see how we can make that service better.
Perfect. Thank you. I know there's a large increase of people requiring multiple trips monthly. I know diabetic eye injections, macular degeneration. There's a lot of these cases now popping up especially it's very common in seniors. Is there any way to probably set up a program or anything to make their requests easier instead of having to fill out the same forms constantly for the same thing when they're given like a year treatment? There seems to be a lot of issues with that kind of stuff for people having to travel for services that are not available in Labrador, but there's people that have to make multiple trips a year. Another is cancer patients do have a pretty regular schedule of traveling out to St. John's. These patients seem to have a growing frustration of how they're filling out the forms and how they're working through the system, and it seems to be very bulky. Is there any work to like streamline the system for people like who have to go every like on the third Friday of every month or the sixth Friday of every month? The third or fourth Friday of every month, because that's what we're seeing in our office, and these people are growing very frustrated about how they're having to fill out their forms, wait, and like this. It seems to be a very red tape-filled system.
So we're certainly looking at those types of things. When the program came under Labrador Affairs, initially there was 2 long, busy applications, and I could try to picture again Aunt Nellie and Uncle Joe trying to manage that from their kitchen table. And so we did take the 2 applications and we reduced them down to 1. We put them online. I heard from folks in your area that trying to put a signature, you know, you can fill out online, but then you got to try and find a printer. So those are all things that we are working through right now, and we've had the conversation many times at our table. In particular, the exact scenario you just mentioned, someone knows that they have to go the third Tuesday of every month for 6 months for treatment or something. How do we make that process better? Because we are managing provincial taxpayers' dollars, we always have to have a certain level of accountability, but we're trying to balance that and do a dance with certainly making it better for the people that we serve, and often those are elderly and seniors and things like that. And so those conversations are happening right now. Even if we can get to a better place, which I'm hopeful we can, each trip that they would go, there would still need to be something to show that they went for that appointment. We've tried with the voucher program, and I'm thinking in particular of your area, some of your folk that you represent would have thousands of dollars tied up because maybe they were entitled to insurance, and insurance would only give them a little bit of money back. So what we did with the voucher program was said, forget insurance, whatever they're entitled to, we'll sort that later. We'll give them 100% of the first 1,000, and then if we find out they're entitled to a couple $100, we'll manage that piece after. So the points that you raised today, we'll take away and we'll pull them from Hansard, and we'll look at that to see how we can continue to make improvements there.
Thank you, Minister. Right now, another thing is we're getting a lot of feedback from people applying for MTAP that they're having difficulties with, especially specialists' offices. A lot of them don't understand MTAP, and a lot of them are very difficult to get the correct notes, especially with the correct wording about, especially with escorts, medical escorts, and things like that. And a lot of them, the specialist office we deal with, they get frustrated because we're calling saying, can you provide a letter? This person has to travel out. They need to use MTAP. Has there been any work at MTAP to, I guess, send any like information or education to some of these physicians or specialties offices so that they understand what what MTAP is and why people are applying for it. We've gotten one doctor that just basically said, I don't care, and refused to send a letter to the patient. Like, they just actually said, we don't care. Yeah. So this is a growing thing that we're seeing in our office. Has there been any work or anything from your office to make the healthcare system understand what MTAP is and why people are applying for it?
If I went through the stats of how the use of the program have increased since it came under Labrador Affairs, there is a growing number of people that are, I would say, becoming familiar with the program. And while Labrador is now almost 52% of the entire program, just a 6% population, which is simply because we live so far from specialized services. But even across the island, in places like maybe Harbor Britain, they'd come in for an appointment and, perhaps due to Costco run or different things and maybe not put in a claim. But with cost of living, more and more people are using it. So there's a couple of things that I'm aware of that we've done in-house. I'm not always close to the day-to-day operations, as you can appreciate. One was we put a lot of things up on a website, tried to make that as clear a language as possible. Another thing that I heard, and I say that because there's a lot of people now that are on their tablets, is how to connect with their children and grandchildren. Even we're seeing more older people that are able to do that than perhaps they could 5 years ago. Another thing that I was aware of through my own constituency is folks would apply for MTAP reimbursement and be really, really frustrated if a month later they received an envelope or something back saying, you're missing this and this. So now when I was out on site and pointing that way because it used to be Major's Path. Now when the envelope comes into the office, we have someone that does a quick little look to see is everything there, just to try to save time. So little things like that have been put in place. I don't know if you want to add to anything, Sherry, that I might have missed there.
Sherry Snow. Like the minister has alluded to and explained, we have done a lot of changes in terms of information we provided on our website. We've actually outlined like a Q&A in regards to escort questions, like things that people should be aware of when they go to their physician and they may be referred out. In terms of how they can actually have the paperwork and everything lined up, we've also provided an escort template, which they can actually bring to their doctor's office, or the doctor can actually look at online, and from there write out the medical note right then and there. We've also have made some changes in terms of what we're accepting for medical escorts. A lot of the information that comes in, we're not necessarily going back and saying just because there's not enough information as to why, but if the actual physician is saying a medical escort is required, we're accepting that information as it is, because we understand, it's very difficult for a lot of patients to be able to go back to a particular physician and ask, we need more additional information. My manager as well has taken on a lot of duties that go above and beyond what his actual requirements are, and reaching out to the actual physicians on behalf of many of our patients that apply to MTAP and ask those questions so we can get those particular answers rather than having to put it back on the patient. So I think we have made leaps and bounds in terms of where we want to go and try to make changes and trying to make things a lot easier for our patients. And again, I know we talked about the voucher program. Like, the actual application is a little over a page. Half of that page is tombstone information. I know that, a lot of patients don't want to have to be filling it out, but the amount of information that we're asking for, we've tried to reduce it. We try to make it so much simpler, and we're constantly reviewing it, and we're getting feedback from a lot of people, and we're trying to make changes. There's many times I'm going back and asking people to update the website for additional information based on what's provided to us. So we're always constantly reviewing. We're always making changes to make things better.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you, Commissioner. We will come back to you, M.A.J. Brown, M.A.J. Evans.
Yes. Thank you, M.A.J. Evans there. I echo a lot of my colleague from the third party who mentioned about the red tape. That seems to be a common theme, but I think he outlined what the problems we're encountering is. I do recognize that there's been a lot of improvements since MTAP has come under Labrador Affairs. I think it's really important to acknowledge that. There's still a lot of work to be done. in terms of the medical travel, because unfortunately, when patients are traveling for medical, they're not in good health, and they already have a lot of stress, and they also have a lot of issues to deal with. So it would be really, really good if the forms and the application process was not a problem for them. It would be greatly appreciated. Sorry about that. The minister did mention in her comments about air travel, about some advocacy looking for some competition for out of the Happy Valley Goose Bay region. Yes, and that would actually go a long way, because we did see those significant increases, 33% increase for ticket prices out of Goose Bay, 47% increase in ticket prices out of Lab West. But we did ask last year, and we'll ask again this year, is that Quebec does have subsidies for rural and remote areas in Quebec. Now, I know these programs end, but they usually start up again. And so I was just wondering, has Labrador Affairs been advocating for some sort of rebate or incentive for travel out of Labrador, and also between the Labrador regions?
Minister. Thank you, Chair. We've through the years, getting out of the province hasn't been the challenge for us, but our challenge is the intra-travel. And I was looking into the Quebec program just last night, actually, still in place, but changes to a percentage-based discount now rather than a set price. I have advocated every which way to Sunday over the last year for something better for Labrador. As somebody who travels almost every weekend myself, I had 6-day-a-week flight options in and out of Blanc-Sablon when I started 12 years ago, and we never rebounded past COVID beyond 3 days. So I'm finding myself every other weekend I'm doing the 3-hour flight to Goose and the 420K drive to the coast. I'm getting to talk to lots of people. I've seen how much the airfare have gone up, and that is why, and my director is sitting directly behind me, and we've done a lot of work around presenting to the federal government. I actually had federal minister in my boardroom here shortly after I was sworn into this new portfolio in July, advocating to him that the federal government has a huge role to play here, because many of the taxes that contribute to the high cost of our airfare are taxes that's put on through Transport Canada, etc. I think in Wabush, the landing fee is $750, I believe. It's something astronomical amount. And, you know, I was pleased to see the work done by Rex Scouty and his team at the Goose Bay Air Corp, which fed into a lot of the things that we were able to use in for our lobby efforts, like some of the figures that the member just quoted. And we're not finished. They're doing a piece of work right now, and we'll continue to stay on that, because we know that the problems that we were concerned about there is not all resolved for sure. Well, I did say earlier the one airline have made a number of changes. I do want to mention that. And the then MP for Labrador went through some of that when we were in Lab West in February.
MH Evans.
Yes, thank you, MH Evans. Yes, so I did notice one airline especially had done some work. And I noticed that because I travel too, especially between Goose Bay and the island portion. My question there with the Combined Councils of Labrador. Question on that now is, do you know their annual budget, and can you give me a breakdown of the budget and their travel expenses?
I'm looking for my note, but I think I should know it off the cuff. But so Combined Councils was born out of necessity, I would say, from your neck of the woods back in over 50 years ago, I guess, somewhere around 50. I did have a note on that, but it's not right in front of me here. There's been a lot of good work, I believe, when Labrador looked a little differently than it do today. Over the last number of years, as a deputy mayor in my own hometown for years and years, it was always a very big highlight to get to Goose Bay to flesh out with fellow leadership across Labrador what our concerns were, to bring in ministers to answer the questions, et cetera, et cetera. Over time, we saw a continual decrease, less and less and less participation. And I don't know if they held either meeting even coming out of COVID. We did put a fair bit of energy in. Somebody around me may want to speak to the actual operation part. I know Franca behind me was quite involved. The budget for Labrador for combined councils was $100,000 since I can remember. And then there was, for multiple years, there was inactivity, no activity, nothing happening. And we wrote them, we offered a number of things. And in March of 24, we just decided to formally discontinue if there was no interest in combined councils continuing, although Labrador Affairs would certainly be there if there was individuals from across Labrador that was interested in continuing something like that. We made that very, very clear. The last installment of funding that I can think of to combined councils, the final piece, was back in 22-23. It was like a natural death that happened. It certainly wasn't lack of support of funding from Labrador Affairs, and it certainly wasn't lack of support of the officials reaching out to the people that were serving on the executive there.
I thank the Minister, M.H. Evans. I thank the Minister for comments on the Combined Councils of Labrador. I would certainly be going back and talking to the ICGs in my district about that issue, because we do have to have some sort of advocacy, not just for Labrador, but for the different regions. Combined councils were very, very important back in the day. And I know I grew up with a history of my family being very, very involved with it. Moving on to the issues of global warming. As you know, global warming is actually in my district now, right? We can't rely on a winter. We can't rely on spring. We can't rely on the fall in terms of the normal conditions, and it's impacting our lives. So in 2024 estimates, you acknowledge as a result of global warming, sea ice is thinning and latent forming in northern Labrador. So, has there been any monies allocated in this budget to plan and move the snowmobile trails, which is our highway, to more land-based areas and for bridges to be installed so that we can continue to use the trails for travel?
Minister. Thank you, Chair, and I thank the member for the question. Very important file that we do work on here in Labrador Affairs, and certainly aware that the changing conditions is having an impact. We've built a really good relationship, and when I say we, I'm saying the collective we, the staff at the office in Goose Bay in particular, with the Anuqaks and our partners in the Inuit community governments in those communities. We know that they have far more valuable knowledge and, you know, closer to the ground. And just recently, a month ago, Franca, maybe, we had, pardon me?
Sorry, March.
We had all of the leadership from Torngat, from your district, that was brought into Goose Bay, and we had a good, fulsome discussion around what the concerns are, many of the things that you just highlighted. You would recall that in last year's budget, I was successful in getting an extra $3 million, I believe it was. We bought three new groomers because the leadership that you represent was telling us we're not even getting enough ice to run our big, heavy groomers anymore. So we did that, and we got funding for a number of shelters. Our actual budget, our annual operating budget, we increased that to $611,000, recognizing higher fuel costs. We wanted to increase the wages for staff that was hired by the service providers. Some of the communities you represent, we had challenges with keeping staff there. Obviously, we're competing with places like Voisey Bay wages, and so we were really pleased to do partnership with Smart Ice in Nain. I think your hometown was another area that we had some challenges. But and now that I am also the minister responsible for climate change, it's the synergies are there. And so as we work to maintain the 750 kilometres of groomed trail, I'm also working with northern ministers across Canada, a larger conversation, and we're hosting the forum the end of May in Goose Bay with ministers from northern areas in Canada. And all of this is with, I can't overstate how big the lens is on isolated communities and on Indigenous communities, and how do we do a workaround with the impacts of climate change continuing to grow to ensure that places like Nanatsivit, like North Coast, like Natwashish, continue to have that winter trail. So there is a lot of conversations happening around could the augmenting the Indigenous knowledge for safe ice travel to the new technology, et cetera, et cetera. And we will do our best to be there for those communities as that need continues to change and increase.
Thank you, Minister. We're going to move now to MHJ Brown again.
Thank you. I guess for just for a quick follow-up on to MTAP here. Right now, I guess there's some access like with that. Is there any with like health records? Is there any way to? Is there any interest in MTAP moving into be the ability that people wouldn't have to send letters or anything like that about their medical travel or anything like that? Where if the health authority is moving towards a more digital-based system, is there any way that MTAP would also move in that same direction so that patients, well, MTAP would know that these patients, their patients have appointments outside of the region, and that is more or less as simple of sending in a form or a basic form or anything like that to get their travel, instead of making, I guess, patients wait for letters in the mail and things like that? Because right now, I can do it. My daughter has to go to St. John's every August to see an endocrinologist. And we get our letter in the mail with our appointment, but we know it's coming. But some people are given appointments on a Monday, and the letter actually shows up after they're back from their appointment. Because sometimes it's, you know, it could be last minute, or they got squeezed in somewhere with the MRI machine or anything like that. So is there any way to move to a more digital-based appointment system so that way we don't have patients fretting trying to get these papers and these letters to MTAP to cover their costs?
Thank you, Chair. For clarity, are you referring to the letters that come from MTAP or the letters from the doctors to various physicians?
From the doctors, from the physicians, and the booking clinic at the Health Science. It's all sent in the mail, and they also refuse to email or fax these letters. They will only send it in the mail.
So there's a number I can even speak as an MHA, there's a number of challenges that we've had, in particular people I represent, in dealing with St. Anthony, or different doctors have different styles, and it's a little bit challenging for us to overreach and, I guess, to tell a physician how to run their practice or what to do. But you did mention this to me before, and, maybe we can send a letter out to all of the physicians to say we would encourage you to do this or something. I don't know if there's more that we can do, because I understand what you're saying. In 2025 and in places far away like Labrador, we shouldn't be depending on snail mail. I'm with you there. So if there is a way that we can take our creative collective minds and see if we can get to a better place or something, we could look at.
Perfect. Thank you. Yeah, no, absolutely, because we've had instances where We spoke with the booking office at the Health Science Center, and they say they only mail it out, and they refuse to fax it or email it, and they say they only send it in the mail. And there's times where individuals who would have absolutely been able to get a voucher end up having to pay for their ticket themselves because they had no letters or nothing. All they had was a phone call that they knew that the doctor made the booking, and there was nothing that they could provide to MTAP to show that they were going. So they ended up taking the other route where they ended up putting it on their credit card or asking for someone to put it on their credit card for them, fly out and then try to straighten it up when they got back. And, you know, and like I said, in 2025, we should be able to be a bit more digital. That would be my, I guess, my final question here on this section. Thank you.
You're done for this section. All right. It's just about 10:30, so we're going to take a break now for 10 minutes, and we will come back in 10 minutes and start again through the morning session. Thank you. Hi, we're back to get back started again, so we're going to MHJ Evans.
Just going back to, you know, the minister said that she's available to help advocate for some of the medical travel.
Say that again?
Yes, just going back to the medical flights and the issues that I raised. The minister said she's available. I am setting up a meeting with the CEO with the Provincial Health Authority, Health Services, NL. I'll make sure that you're invited there, and I do appreciate you lending your voice to the advocacy for the patients. So I just wanted to include that as well. Just moving on now to, in 2023, there was an MOU signed with Nunavut. Our province signed that. And just looking at the MOU, And I'll quote from the last budget estimates where the minister said the people of Newfoundland, Labrador, and Nunavut have personal, culture, and social relationships. Both jurisdictions have strong indigenous populations and share a like-minded approach to safe and sustainable Arctic development, focused on achieving mutual benefits of northern and indigenous communities. So that seems to be the foundation for the MOU. So I was wondering, when you're looking at this, the benefits, the words benefits is in there, does this relate to Canada, Newfoundland, Labrador, the military presence in the north, or does it also include benefits for actual Indigenous peoples living there, like in terms of food, housing, travel, transportation, ability to hunt, fish, healthcare?
Minister?
So the MOU, can you just expand to say how it benefits the Indigenous peoples who are living there?
So I'm not sure that how I referenced benefits might have been taken in dollars, and that's not necessarily what I was referring to. We signed an MOU a couple of years ago with Nunavut, recognizing, and it was signed between Newfoundland and Labrador and Nunavut, but the focus of our province is on the north, recognizing Labrador in particular, recognizing that the challenges that Nunavut faces, whether it's with search and rescue supports, transportation supports, travel, almost everything that we deal with across Labrador, Nunavut would be dealing with the same thing. When I traveled to Iqaluit and I met with multiple ministers while I was there, and whether it was social issues, mental health issues, housing, we were all dealing with the same thing. So what we mean by benefit is if we're working closely with someone who is walking the same road, sharing the same challenges, you don't always have to reinvent the wheel. We can learn from each other, and we've already done that to some degree. And so we'll have people, hopefully from Nunavut, that attends our Northern Ministers Development Forum that's taking place in Goose Bay later in May. So it wasn't about actual benefit. And I know you referenced Indigenous groups, so like Torngat has their own government, Nanatsi of it, and they do their annual budget and things like that from Ottawa, Innonation with an agreement in principle and so forth with the five groups around the province. So I wasn't referring to that, and I'm sorry if I made a comment that I don't know if that was misleading, but I think that's fair to say, right? We're talking about benefits of how we can benefit from the shared knowledge and challenges and things like that across the two northern regions.
Okay, MHA Evans. Yes, MHA Evans. No, because like I said, it's in Hansard, you know, when the questions was asked and the information about MU, and it does say focus on achieving mutual benefits for northern Indigenous communities, which is why I asked the question. I also bring attention to Natan Obed, the president of ITK, the largest Indigenous organization that represents all the Inuit across Nunavut. And he calls, when he was looking at the, you know, just looking at the Arctic now, and, you know, we got the States, we got Russia, we got Canada, all basically sort of jockeying for position to ensure that Arctic sovereignty is protected. And Natan Obed, the president of ITK, says he's calling for Inuit to be included, involved when it comes to plans to protect Arctic sovereignty. He also calls for infrastructure investment and upgrades for Inuit communities. So the reason why I'm bringing this up during budget estimates, I think it's very important for Labrador Affairs in your role of advocacy to make sure that this MOU also highlights the gaps in services and infrastructure for Labrador, especially in northern Labrador, where we've been failed chronically by the lack of investment in infrastructure, and we look at how it's impacting our people. And then you go on and also said here, and I'm quoting from last year estimates as well, the department is also bolstering northern and Arctic priorities at the regional and national level. I will say that this year the Labrador Affairs is hosting the Northern Development Ministers across the country in Happy Valley Gooseberry and planning that. Planning for that is well underway, and I'm quoting you, Minister, which is really good. Like, it's really good to see that there's opportunities to highlight where Nunavut and Northern Labrador especially share a lot of the similar issues. But, I mean, can you just update us on what was discussed at the Northern Development Ministers Conference?
Minister?
Thank you. So maybe I didn't highlight that at my opening remarks, but you're absolutely right. Everything is recorded and answered that we say, and we were moving full bore for Northern Ministers Development Forum. It was supposed to be last September, and then it was January, and because so many jurisdictions across the country were in writ period, in particular those ministers who represent the North that would come, we had to postpone the date. So, I mean, we only rotate through every few years. So the Northern Ministers Development Forum did not happen. I do want to say, even outside of any travel that I make to Nunavut, working with them on the MOU, we also meet at other places. So in September or October, I attended the Arctic Assembly in Reykjavik, Iceland, and incredible, very important conversation that we realized that we are in the middle of because of our location and things like that. And so I've met multiple times with the Premier of Nunavut, who is an incredible individual, and we last met in the fall. Premier PJ Agiakok and myself and his officials and my officials while we were in Iceland, and very much of the conversation was around the geopolitical unrest, Arctic sovereignty, some of our shared challenges, and I guess around benefits in terms of how we can work together on economic benefits, how we can work together to try and ensure protection for both of our regions. There is a very big federal piece here in terms of Coast Guard ships and things like that. A little bit concerned about the lack of ships that's going to come in the next few years, but these are all things that we are sort of just a sampling of what we would be working with between Nunavut and Labrador on.
Yep. And Mitch Evans, thank you, Minister, for your response. And like I go back to the quote again from Hanser, the department is also boosting Northern and Arctic priorities at the regional and national level. And President of ITK, you know, has called for infrastructure investment and upgrades for Inuit communities, because we can't be just about establishing sovereignty. Oh, this belongs to Canada because the Inuit are there. When the Inuit, you know, and we've had MPs from Nunavut who've actually went out and did tours of their communities and were traumatized by the housing conditions up in Nunavut. But in actual fact, we had the federal housing advocate come to communities in my district, and she said that she has nightmares from what she's seen. She, you know, and I like saying it because it's a word I struggle to pronounce, abominable. I'm getting good at it now, so it's not as funny. But she called the conditions in Northern Labrador abominable. So, like, I would like to see, as the MHA for Torne Gap Mountains, and as the critic for Labrador Affairs, and the person who advocates for all of Labrador, and I'm sure the member from the third party will agree with me, is these MOUs have to also benefit the Indigenous peoples. And that's what the president of ITK is calling for. Right, and he does say that Inuit has to be involved and included. So my next question is, have your department included and involved the two Indigenous groups, of Northern Labrador, Nunatsiavut, and the Innu Nation, with any of this discussion, especially when it comes for the the conference that has been rescheduled? You don't have an opportunity now to include them. So I was just wondering, are they going to be invited as well?
Yes,
sir. So a couple of things. When you mention the housing, we would be familiar with the housing challenges, and that's why as a provincial government we put $12 million into Nunatsiavut toward housing in the last budget, and just last week we put another $3 million, so that's $15 million. I do want to say for the record that I've had multiple meetings with the federal MP who have told me that there is an inordinate amount of money set aside, put in place, for housing on the North Coast. I do believe there's also been some challenges around timing of procurement. It's always a challenge getting contractors up there. I would encourage the member to perhaps reach out. We're in a bit of a writ period, but the former MP is still around, because she did tell me, and I don't have a figure in front of me, but the federal government had committed significantly, recognizing and appreciating the housing challenges on the North Coast. Regarding ITK, President Obed have never reached out to me since we started on this MOU process. I've not ever seen a piece of correspondence outlining concern or anything like that. I'm just saying that in case my staff saw something, but most of it trickles up to me. With regard to who we are working with across Labrador, recognizing the diversity of the three Indigenous groups and the industrial in the west and Lake Melville, the central, and all of the different unique challenges there, we include everybody in the work that we are doing. So when I referenced earlier the Inuit community government, the work that we are doing on maintaining the 750 kilometers of groomed trail. We work really closely with them. When we go north, we request meetings with the governments. We don't go into an area without letting them know that we're coming, et cetera. So certainly from our part and where we sit, we work hard to develop a positive and maintain a positive relationship. I will say that since I sat here in estimates last year, I am not currently the provincial minister responsible for Indigenous Affairs. That would be my colleague, Minister Reed, who himself have also been to Nunavut and met with the ministers there as well. When you're in these communities, whether it's Nunavut or whether it's Labrador in the north, predominantly we recognize that we are dealing with Indigenous peoples.
Thank you, Minister. Your time has expired. M.A.J. Brown, did you have any further questions?
No, nothing for this sub-ed.
All right. M.A.J. Evans, you have more questions for this round?
Yep. Thank you, M.A.J. Evans. No, just going back and revisiting the Minister's comments, the $12 million for housing. I thought that was $12 million announced in the budget, but in actual fact, it was going to be spread over several budget years. This year, $3 million of the $12 million was going to be spent. I did not see $12 million spent in my district last year. I did not. As for the $3 million this year, it's earmarked for, and this is a budget issue, which is why I bring it up in estimates, is that since I got elected in 2019, there was houses vacant with Newfoundland Labrador Housing in Nain and Hopedale, where we had a huge housing crisis. Because the houses weren't maintained and repaired and put back into circulation. There was one of the houses. I drove around with somebody from the Safe House in Nain, a strong woman advocate, looking at the houses. There was one house there that was vacant for 10 years that could have been used to house families, Newfoundland Labrador Housing. And I know that's directed towards Newfoundland Labrador Housing, but as a Labrador advocate, it's been a huge issue. That's been raised. So the $3 million that's going to be spent this year is going to be just to try to do some repairs for the chronic neglect. You know, and I'm not going to apologize for how harsh my words sound. Because if issues were addressed for Labrador, all of Labrador, in terms of medical transportation, in terms of housing, in terms of food costs, and it's not just my district that's suffering with the cost of food, is if we weren't in such a crisis, my words wouldn't have to be so harsh. I'd love to be able to sit here and thank you for all the work that's been done. That's not taken away from your advocacy. I'm not discouraging you from advocating. But I'm here, and I said the same thing last year in estimates. The whole point of Labrador Affairs was to advocate, to make sure the Minister, the Department of Finance, understood the issues in Labrador. When it comes to not just infrastructure, but things like air ambulance. When you look at the cost of being able to heat your house, the issues in CSSD has been contributed to the huge cost for food and housing. A part of your role, part of your budget that pays your salary is about making sure you advocate. And I'm not taking away from your advocacy, but the whole point of myself and the member from the third party here to be able to raise these issues about what we see in the 2025 budget and what we raised in the 2024 budget is that we want to make sure the gaps are being addressed because the people in Labrador have the same rights to access supports and infrastructure and services as like the people on the island. So that's just so important to me. And which is why I'm raising it. It's not because I'm a negative person. It's not because I like to pick out things to complain about. Where I can, I try to make sure that people are being recognized for the amount of work that they're doing. So that's just so important. I also just want to go back to the pre-feasibility study. And just looking at that now, I mean, we finally got approval. Money is allotted in the budget for the pre-feasibility study was announced. The next year, the same amount was announced. The third year, it was announced again. So I was really, really glad that the work has been done. But I wonder, where is the report? I raise it in question period. I raise it during petitions. So with that money that was allotted in the budgets, where is the pre-feasibility study now? Because every year that planning doesn't go ahead is a loss of another year of budget where money could be allocated to actually start some work. So I was just wondering, where's the pre-feasibility? And I know the minister is going to say we put it out to the Indigenous groups for comment and consultation, but that was about a year ago. I don't think any study in the province of Newfoundland and Labrador has been given to somebody or groups and have a whole year where they've taken it and we haven't heard back from it. And the reason why I'm bringing that up is because the people, the residents in Northern Labrador, want to see the report, not just Nunat civil government and the Innu Nation. Also, people in Lake Melva region, Lab West, they're interested as well. Southern Labrador, the members' district, they're interested in where the pre-feasibility study is, because everybody in Labrador is interested in the ability to actually have improved transportation to Northern Labrador.
Minister, would you like to respond?
Thank you, Chair. There's a whole bunch of things I want to unpack from the members' comments. With housing, we know that the need is there, right? Going back a number of years when I was the provincial minister for housing, I was working with folks like Tony Anderson, an incredible guy that I have a lot of respect for. Tony was a minister then, and Daryl Shywalk, and recognizing that there's challenges often in getting contractors up in the north and things like that for Newfoundland and Labrador housing. And so they had asked us if we were willing to turn over some of the buildings and bring them up to spec and turn them over, and then they would run them. And we were certainly willing to have that partnership. I also want to say on the housing matter, just because the work isn't happening doesn't mean the money have been allocated. Like, we have to work in partnership with the government up there. And I feel in this moment I would be remiss if I didn't acknowledge the really incredible work that Nanatsivut government does. So in Newfoundland and Labrador, we have one only Indigenous group that has self-government. And I do follow things that happen with Nanatsivut, and it was incredible just to see them pass their last budget for Torngat of over $400 million. And when I'm not saying the issues that the minister isn't raising isn't real, but when I travel through all of those little tiny communities, I see incredible work that Nanatsivut have done with beautiful buildings, with health services, multiple layers of education services for their people. And we're seeing beautiful success stories coming out of the north, and the fire halls and the recreation facilities, and there's so many positive things. And I'm having this conversation because of a couple of youth that recently approached me and talked about this, that there is positive things there. So I did want to toss a bouquet in terms of the provincial government. Even in light of self-government, we're still putting a lot of money in. It's not all neglect. CSSD is up there in every community. Justice often is in every community. We do spend $18 million to provide the provincial ferry services. And I'm just touching on a couple of things there. Around the pre-feasibility study, there's nobody that wants to see that advance more than me. But where it exactly is now, I cannot speak for the minister responsible for transportation and infrastructure, because the answer that I got the last time is what the member just referenced around it was with the Indigenous group. So I don't know if the member have spoken to Nanatsivut government or Innu Nation to see if they had sent back the pre-feasibility, because if they have added in their comments and feedback and sent it back, then it is on the provincial government now to advance. So I don't know. Does anybody have an answer on that?
Okay. All right, M.H. Evans, do you have more questions?
Yes, just a couple more comments. And the reason why I just want to clarify about the money, because there tend to be a lot of times where money is announced and then it's re-announced. So I just want to clarify, it's going to be $3 million for repair for 9 units, but it's been chronic neglect. I have been advocating and asking in the House of Assembly for a Newfoundland Labrador housing, a plan to ensure that when these repairs are made, they don't fall into chronic repair again. Right, and that's the purpose of SMS, to make sure that we do have a good maintenance program. And also, too, is I do know it was told to me that when back in the last year when the year before when the housing federal housing advocate had gone up and saw the state of the houses. I know that the minister of CSSD had gone up. The former minister of CSSD had gone up. And there was an offer to Nunatsiavut that they would give them the Newfoundland Labrador housing units, but without the budget to repair them. And they were in such disrepair that Nunatsiavut could not accept them because they wouldn't be able to maintain them because of the chronic. So these issues are the reality, it's the truths, right? That's out there. So for us, we just want to make sure that each budget that's announced, issues are brought forward. Then those issues don't end when we leave budget estimates, that they're followed up for the next year. It's so important. And I do want to highlight, too, as well, I do appreciate the advocacy of the minister in terms of the Labrador Games, increasing the budget, in terms of the Sports NL, the travel subsidies for the students in Labrador and also for the athletes as well. So there are positive things. So I don't want, it's not all negative, but in actual fact, healthcare, food, heating your house really is where we are right now, and we have to focus on that. Thank you.
Minister.
Just one quick comment I want to say to the member as I endeavor to get an answer on the X-ray piece. I did have my folks run a scan through estimates for the last 2 years, and we couldn't find a reference with regard to a question regarding X-ray in the record. So, because I was drawing a blank.
Yeah, it's enhanced.
It's enhanced?
It's enhanced for the last budget estimates, which is why I brought it up in this estimate.
Okay, I did ask staff. They didn't see
it. And my colleague was the first one to raise it. And it was raised because of the serious instance that happened. We had a young girl in Nain who had two pelvic fractures that was basically told by the nurse that she had to sit on a plane and go with the regular passengers. We've had children who've had bone injuries. You know what I mean? So there's been issues. So, and actually I was looking at it. So like I question it because in your role as advocacy for health for housing, right? So
yeah, I'm endeavouring to get, and I'm just saying I obviously didn't read it, but I was told they couldn't find it. But was certainly I have already on break reached out and left a voicemail for. The COO for Labrador Grenville. Did that myself.
Any further questions, MHAs?
We do have some line items. 2.1.01, Labrador Affairs.
That's the next one. That's the next set.
Okay, next. Okay.
So you're finished with questions for this section?
Yes, I think we are.
All right, here, no further questions. I asked the clerk to call the headings, please.
1.1.01, Executive and Support Services.
Shall 1.1.01 carry? All those in favor? All those against? Carries. All right, I ask the clerk to call the next set of subheadings.
2.1.01 to 2.1.02, Inclusive Labrador Affairs.
2.1.01 to 2.1.02. We will start the next round of questions. MHJ Evans.
Yes, I do. Just looking at 2.1.01, there are some cuts to grants and subsidies, that line item there. I was just wondering, just for clarification, was that resulting from the end of the 2024 Winter Games?
The grants and subsidies decreased. A grant for the Labrador Winter Games operating fund has been removed. So what happens with the Winter Games held every 3 years used to be $500,000, and as you know, Premier Fury did commit to an extra $250 last year, so we've got extra money to work with, and that's hopefully to have some good work going out into regions, North Coast, South Coast, West, in the lead up to the games, and that's well underway with the board that's in place and an individual hired. And then there's always a $50,000 holdback for getting the report done, the final audit and things like that by the board. So that's what the difference that you're seeing there.
Okay. How much funding was disbursed via the Labrador sports travel and the school subsidy? And how much was allocated for the upcoming budget?
Can you just ask that again, please?
How much funding was disbursed through the Labrador sports travel and the school sports subsidy? And how much is allocated in the upcoming budget?
We do have it here.
So the full amount was disbursed.
Yeah, so the full amount of $830,000 was disbursed. Our current budget is $830,000, $430,000 for application-based travel, and $400,000 for school sport.
How many, thank you, Minister MHA Evans. How many individuals as well as teams receive subsidies for sports travel?
Yeah, we have it here.
Yeah, we do.
195 individuals. I did have that right in front of me.
Do you have a copy there?
Okay. 950 athletes in total that used our program.
950?
Yes.
Yeah. Is that for the last year's budget?
Yeah.
So this is a significant increase then? Yeah. Okay. I was just wondering, too, is how are the individuals and teams allotted the money, like in terms of applying? Like, what's the criteria for who gets funding and who actually gets turned down for funding?
I'm going to let the director who deals with this directly into the Goose Bay office, because it's so important. I don't want to miss anything.
Just for you. Yes, so we're application-based. Every team is eligible for one team subsidy, and athletes can have four individual subsidies, and then if they make a provincial team, they get an additional two subsidies. We don't turn down people unless they've gone past the subsidies.
So anyone who's MHA Evans, anyone who's traveling for an event outside their community can apply for the travel
Absolutely.
Subsidy?
Absolutely. Is they're under 18 or Special Olympians?
Under 18 or Special Olympics. Okay, thank you. So I think you already answered my next question was how many teams or athletes were denied funding? You said no one's denied funding unless they use up
unless they've used the program previously.
Just a reminder to state your name at every time, so for recording purposes, just so when they have it recorded right correctly. MHA Evans?
Yes, MHA Evans. Just looking at the hub, the Happy Valley Goose Bay hub, the budget in 2024 committed $30 million to the project, and the timeline was for to tender to go in the fall of 2024, and then completion would probably be 18 months beyond that. So can we just get a little update on those timelines?
I found my sport sheet. So I just go back for a moment. I do want to put on the record that one of the great things that we did with the Labrador Sport Travel Subsidy last year was recognizing that if you live, for example, on the South Coast, you get paid per kilometre to get to the nearest airport, but that there was a disadvantage with isolated communities in the North Coast. So we made an enhancement where 100% coverage of airfare is provided for athletes traveling from the six North Coast communities of Nene, Hopedale, Nattwashese, Postville, McCovic, Rigolet. And once now they get to Goose Bay, then everybody is treated the same. So we've leveled the playing field, I guess, no pun intended. And we actually increased a hosting grant because we were hearing that $7,500 was a little bit insufficient now to $10,000. And all athletes are provided 75% airfare coverage from Goose Bay, Wabush, and Blanc-Sablon airports. And from April, the member was asking about numbers. From April 24 to March 31st, 25, the Labrador Travel Sport Travel Subsidy issued 163 authorizations and supported approximately 950 individuals spanning all four Labrador districts in 14 sports: ball, hockey, basketball, figure skating, hockey, judo, soccer, swimming, track and field, volleyball, cross country, running, and cross country skiing. And regarding the housing hub that we are moving forward on, many, many meetings, it's been a monumental effort, a huge commitment by the Premier across many departments, and that is moving on now to, I believe, groundwork will be starting very, very soon.
MHA Evans.
Okay. Thank you. Chair. Just looking at what was in the last budget as well, there was the Shishishi Mobile Crisis Unit. Can we just get a brief update on that? Or was we asked a question we've asked a question last year in budget estimates about the Shishishi Mobile Crisis Unit, and it was deferred to the
Health Community Services.
Yeah, but I was just wondering now, can you just provide us with an update, what you know in terms of your advocacy for the timelines for getting this?
I don't have an update. I would have to get it from Health and Community Services.
Okay. That's all the questions for this section.
MHA Brown.
Thank you. Right now, I guess the member asked most of my questions for the same section there now. I believe I have everything covered right now, and that. Nope, we're all good here.
Oh, okay.
He's good. You done? Okay. No further questions. All right. I ask the clerk to call the subheadings, please. We call the subheadings.
2.1.01 to 2.1.02 inclusive, Labrador Affairs.
Shall 2.1.01 to 2.1.02 carry? All those in favor? All those against? Motion carried.
Total.
Shall the total carry? All those in favor? All those against? Carried. Shall I report the estimates of Labrador Affairs carried? All those in favor? All those against? Carried. All right. That concludes this portion of the estimates. I want to thank the department, the minister, and all her staff for attending, especially the clerk. This is her first official, Jenny is her first official on her own doing the estimates. So thank you very much for, I also want to mention that the next meeting is going to be tomorrow, April the 10th. And before we conclude, I'm going to ask members if they'd like to conclude and say some closing remarks.
Sure, we haven't done sections 2.1. 0.02 medical transportation. We were on 1.1.
2.1.
I mean 2.1.01.
Yeah, I called both sections. I mean, there's only two sections, 1.1.01, and then the next section I called was 2.1.01 to 2.2.02. We can certainly take some further questions if we have any further questions, but both both of them was included in the second round when I announced the thing. But if you have any further questions, I'm sure the minister will be only happy to answer them.
Okay. Yes, Chair. That mistake was on my part then. I think last year we did it by sections, Labrador Affairs and then the MTAP.
So, that's what I just got. Yeah. But anyway, go ahead. Do you have any questions?
Yes. So thank you. Just looking at Section 2.1.02, Medical Transportation Programs, has there been any consideration regarding the eligibility for amputees within the MTAP program for prosthetics? Now, last year, it was raised by my colleague, actually, and there was some confusion on this topic, and I remember it went back and forth between my colleague and the minister about the belief that due to the prosthetics not being covered by MCP, amputees would not be able to access MTAP, even for the fitting for the prosthetics. So I was just wondering, would the minister be able to provide an update on that?
Yeah, so I don't think it was confusion, but certainly what happened is there was a need and there is a need. The numbers around the province I don't believe are big, but they're really, really important that we ensure that where we need to, we can support people to access those very important life-changing services. And so with the medical transportation program, the way that program is set up since back in 1998, it's for individuals to access specialized services, and those are outlined under MCP. And so the member for Lab West had a scenario last year, had a constituent he was advocating for, and we were having a barrier because they would not be coming to access specialized services, but we recognized there was a need, there was a high cost to getting here for those prosthetics. And so the Premier himself made a commitment here on the floor of the House that anybody with those challenges, we would endeavour to help. And at that time, we referred back to Health and Community Services to help. But it's also something that we are now looking at under MTAP to see if it would better fit here, because we recognise, I don't know if it was a gap, but somewhere between the parameters of this program and the services in health, people like the MHA for Lab West was having challenges finding answers to his scenario for his constituent.
Yes, thank you. So your MHA Evans, so what I take away from that is that you are looking at ways for it to be, to travel to be included under MTAP. And I think that was the problem last year, where it wasn't under MCP. They couldn't access through MTAP. So that's a positive thing. How many requests were received under MTAP that were denied funding?
Any request that comes in, if someone is traveling to access specialized services, goes forth. We don't deny those. Like last year, I went almost $1 million over budget, because if somebody meets the eligibility of the program and they are traveling to access specialized services, we do not deny. Sometimes, I'll give you an example. You might have somebody that's going to a dentist or something like that that might not qualify, but if somebody is, even if there's a child that needs dental surgery, it mightn't even quite line up with the program, but we will make the effort to. I'm thinking about Central, where we did something, and I shouldn't be giving specific cases here, but.
Nope. MHA Evans, thank the minister for your comment, your answer there. Looking at the income support medical travel, which is a different program than MTAP, what's the total amount of funding provided under ISMT?
Can you ask that question again?
The income support medical travel, ISMT.
Yeah.
What's the total amount of funding provided through this program for 2024-25?
$6.4 million.
MHAs.
So, and the requests that have come in under the medical transportation, MITS, we're now calling it, exceed 12,000 for 24-25. The requests have remained relatively stable year over year, but the program has observed an average increase of 6% in cost of service delivery per request.
MHA Paddock. MTAP program, just so just some quick overview questions on the program itself. How is that program communicated to residents?
Well, it's not a new program. It's been around since 1998, universal, part of the universal health care. And if somebody is seeking medical transportation and they do a quick Google, all of the information will come up under Labrador Affairs. I think most people that go to their physicians that are being referred out, if someone says, how do I do it? I'm sure because it's not new, it's been around for decades. Folks, like I'm not meeting people who's not aware, but and we continue to have a pretty big uptake in the program. And since you represent central and island portion of the province, I will reference a couple of the enhancements that I made to the program since it came under me. We used to have a $400 deductible on the island, and we actually removed that back in 2023 for residents of island health zones traveling out of province for specialized care. And the assistance rates for Lab Grenfell Zone have been extended to include residents to island health zones who need to travel out of province for specialized medical care, medical services. And also, we provided enhancements to, for example, the overnight. We used to we increased that from $150 per night within the province to increased it to $150 within the province and $175 per night outside the province. We increased the mileage reimbursement rate for private vehicle use from 20 cents to 25 cents for patients who drive over 4,000 kilometers. And I'm probably not hitting it all, but I just want to mention that because one of the things I've noticed since the program come under me is folks on the island in more rural parts, we're seeing a bigger uptake there as well.
Right, and that comes back to my point with regards to how the program is communicated, MHA Paddock, by the way. You know, and I'm continuing to push this program every time I'm in a small community. We have a digital divide, and not a lot of the seniors are, you know, are able to pick up and Google, you know, some of that is internet and cell phone access in some of our rural communities, and that's particularly when we're talking about marginalized population. I would recommend that you go out again to every community in the province with just an overview of the program, because I've even talked to town clerks that don't fully understand. And I think this is an awareness gap that we could leverage with regards to further communicating the program. It is a great program, but we need to ensure that it is fully known across the province.
Minister, would you like to respond?
I would go a little further. It's been my experience that we have a lot of fabulous programs across departments, across government, that it's always a challenge to get that information into every community on the ground. Since the program of medical transportation have been under me, and since we've made enhancements right across the board, one thing that we never really talk about in estimates is the increasing number of out-of-province patients, transplant recipients. I deal a lot with that. Just had a young woman from my own district who waited a long time for a transplant, and sadly, when she got flown out, the organ she needed was not a match. So I have had a number of MHAs ask me to travel to their regions, and we've sat with municipalities and I've talked at some length about the enhancements, about the program and things like that. So where we can get the information out, we do try our best. So your point's well taken.
Administrator Panic.
Thank you. So next question is with regards to processing, and I want to compliment the member from Labrador West with regards to his questions on that. Took some of what I wanted to ask. There is a continued challenge for a number of seniors in processing their claims, and my office helps a good number. Have you had any engagement with MTAP, with the seniors advocate, with regards to how we continue to refine the program, to probably look at it in a way, keep it simple, with regards to processing?
Thank you, Chair. Absolutely. We meet with the seniors advocate on a regular basis. She's various portfolios that I've held. She's been in my boardroom. She has a mandate. I think it's really important that we have the seniors advocate. She's out and about in the province, hears different concerns, and she certainly is on the ball with the things that she hear, whatever department they fall in, she brings them back. And when she does her report, she includes the things that she've heard, like in particular what you've referenced around medical transportation. And then often we're happy to be able to go back to her and say, as we continue to review the program and where possible make improvements, these are some of the matters that that you've raised before that we are now able to address. So we've had ongoing correspondence and things like that. One of the things we did do as a result of a number of, predominantly seniors questioning and things like that, is we put together a fact sheet to try and make it easier for people to get answers to some of the questions that they had.
MHA Panic.
Yeah, so, and then with regards to program review, so it was indicated that there is a regular review that is conducted. Does the program, I guess, go through a more formalized review? And if so, how often, and who participates?
I can only speak to, with clarity, the program came under me in Budget 23 and with some extra funding at that time. And we did a very deep dive in-house in the program to see where we could best stretch that money, where we would get the best return, where we would have the best impact for folks on the ground, for the user. In addition to that, I spoke to it a number of times here in the House. I invited every MHA to come and sit with me, because the 40 seats in here represent the 530,000 people in the province. And I wanted, and if you're rural in particular, I know that you get a gamut of everything coming through your office, because in the run of a day, I could write a book on the things that I deal with in my own constituency office, which is a really super busy active office. And so we gave MHAs an opportunity to come and sit down and bring the concerns forward. And all of that was considered as we move forward making changes.
If I may, I guess, ask a question here, since there's still a time on the clock, with regards to advocacy, with regards to public policy on Labrador affairs. And that is, you know, it is a challenge with some public policy, because for some public policy, it is much easier to execute and partake in an urban setting. In a rural setting, it becomes a challenge. In a remote area, it becomes a huge barrier with regards to accessing. So I'm going to highlight like a case in point just to see where you are with regards to tracking. And that is the rebate on personal property, sort of personal property insurance. Easy to partake in a urban area, very much a challenge in a remote area for various reasons. Are you tracking Labrador Fairs, the participation in that rebate for Labrador residents?
Minister.
I can't speak directly to that, but I can tell you that finance tracks everything with a fine-tooth comb. There's quite a large team there in finance, and they would be tracking that.
Thank you, Minister.
Okay, and since there's still 30 seconds, one final. I was at a conference a few years back, and they were promoting Halifax as the gateway to the north, which really, turned my stomach, because I view Goose Bay as that gateway to the north. So I guess from an advocacy point of view for Labrador Affairs, I'm just looking at what you're doing with regards to reminding all of Canada that Goose Bay is indeed the gateway to the north.
Thank you. Minister, do you want to respond?
I think I'm definitely with you on that, but I do think that we have different gateways to the north in Labrador, because over in Lab West there's lots of folks that are entering the province there, and in the south, as soon as you cross over the border in the Labrador Straits, you'll see a great big sign on a building that says Gateway, and then of course Goose Bay would be the stepping off ground if you're going up into the northern areas, and some very beautiful tourism sites like we have in Torngat down my way, Battle Harbour, lots of examples. But tourism would be the lead on that promotion, but we are certainly advocating, and we work closely with the chambers. We've got an incredible, great chamber, Labrador Chamber of North in Happy Valley. We've got the chamber in Lab West that we sat with when we were there, me and my staff. And we often are working with Tourism, Culture, Arts and Recreation to talk about some of our unique challenges that we have around tourism, Indigenous tourism, and things like that.
Thank you, Minister. Any further questions? No further questions. I just wanted to put a record that I did speak with the clerk, and we don't need to vote because we've already voted on both sections. That concludes the end of this session, but I will give everybody the opportunity for final remarks. MHA Evans, would you like to have some closing remarks?
Yes, thank you, MHA Evans. I'd like to thank you all for your time, and like I said, the questions is not a reflection on your, you know, the amount of work that you've done. I don't want you to be discouraged by the questions that we've raised. The purpose of raising them is to ensure that Labrador Affairs is living up to its mandate and is being an advocacy, an advocate for not only, the geographical differences between the island and Labrador, but also a lot of the social issues that are raised that come up that sometimes people struggle with because of the isolation and the remoteness. Labrador is very, very remote. You know, we saw that during COVID. So, the importance of your role can't be overstated here. So I do want to recognize that, and I don't want anyone to be discouraged by our comments, our questions, and sometimes the harshness of the comments there. It's only because it's a reflection of the huge gaps in services that a lot of people in Labrador face, and that's sort of like a reinforcement for Labrador Affairs. Thank you.
Thank you. MHJ Brown.
Thank you. I want to thank the Minister and her staff over at Labrador Affairs for participating. It's always great to have you down to do this, and you know it takes a lot of work. And I know it's a very interesting office because half is in Labrador and half is down here, so it takes a bit of wrangling. But I really want to appreciate you, and I thank you for everyone for participating.
Minister, closing remarks.
Thank you, Chair. And I want to thank both the member for Torngat and the member for Labrador West for the respectful nature in the line of questioning. I understand that we have unique challenges. I was on a flight to Labrador on Friday, and I was dealing with people on the ferry that was worried about the polar bear that was also on the ferry being transported, even though he was heavily sedated and we had lots of conservation officers and we had lots of things in place. But these are, I share it because we deal with circumstances that I guarantee you my colleagues on the Avalon are not dealing with, just all in the run of a day. I think in closing, I just want to say I am here. and I'm always available and willing to sit down. And I think that when we put our, I respect the role of opposition. I was there for 2 years myself back in the day. But I think a lot of times when we put our collective shoulders to the wheel on some of our really unique challenges that we can sort of make progress and maybe get to a solution a little quicker. So I just always want to put that out there. I'm here. I'm willing to work with any of you folk across Labrador. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister. Now I'm going to ask for a mover to adjourn. Moved by Minister Persons, second by MHJ Brown. All those in favor? All those against? Carried. Have a good day, everybody.